Luke chapter 2. If you would, in your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2. I want us to read starting at verse 41 down to verse 52 in that chapter in the Gospel of Luke. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. Reading verses 41 through 52 in Luke chapter 2, we will find these words. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." Verse 49, and he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down to, let me start over with verse 51. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. May God bless the reading of his word. Verse 46 says this, "Now so it was after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions." And then verse 52 says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men." And with these verses and all the other verses in our hearing, let's reflect for the next 15 minutes or so using the sermon title, The Benefit of Tradition. The Benefit of Tradition. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, O God, for the traditions, Lord, that have been handed down to us. And God, we just ask that we examine traditions, Lord God, each of us in our own generation, in our own time, and to know them and to understand them, Lord God, and to be able to recognize, Lord, a tradition that comes from you and a tradition that comes from men. To recognize, Lord God, a good tradition and to recognize a bad tradition. To recognize, Lord God, the benefit of tradition, the benefit of a tradition that comes from you, the benefit of a tradition that is a good tradition. So, Father God, we just ask you, Heavenly Father, to open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, our minds, our souls to, Lord, hear what you have to speak to us, the church. We thank you for your word. We know your word has its power, it has its glory, it has its ability to accomplish what it will. And so, Lord God, let your word go forth. It's in Jesus' name that I pray, that we pray. Amen. So we're approaching here the end of the Christmas season, which officially began on Thanksgiving Day and ends on New Year's Day. It is a tradition. Celebrating Christmas is one of the most widely held traditions in the world. But just what is a tradition? What makes something a tradition? Traditions are the rituals or the acts that we do again and again. Traditions help us remember what was done in the past to prepare us for the future. Traditions help us to hand down beliefs and information to the next generation to follow behind us. There are so many traditions. Like after the death of a family member or friend or some other traumatic event. Traditions help us find comfort. Traditions help us return to a feeling of normal again. Because traditions in our mind are almost automatic. We just operate as though, no matter what, rain or shine, that tradition must be upheld. Countries have traditions. In the United States, we celebrate Independence Day each July 4th and Veterans Day each November 11th. Cities have traditions. In Apopka, each year they have the annual Christmas parade and the Art and Foliage Festival, year in and year out. Religions have traditions. Christians, we observe communion and Resurrection Sunday and Christmas. Jews, they hold bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs and observe Hanukkah. Muslims, they pray five times a day and observe Ramadan. Families have traditions. In fact, it is the family traditions that most people remember the most. Some families have a tradition of getting together on specific holidays, like my family did yesterday and on Thanksgiving. Some families have a tradition of taking a vacation at the same time each year. Traditions, they shape our families and make them unique. Most traditions are set to a specific time, like, for instance, of course, Christmas is an example of a tradition that is set to a specific time, December 25th. And at Christmas, you might have that tradition of buying gifts and cooking and eating food and getting together with family and friends. These are all traditions. Traditions, they could be set also not just to a specific time, but also to a specific event. The funeral is a tradition that is set to a specific event, that event being someone's death and burial. And with that tradition, families and churches, they share the tradition of gathering at the home of the deceased and comforting the family. People will make sure to bring some food so that family members do not have to figure out what to think or what to do. These are traditions. Some traditions reflect someone's values, such as donating used clothes and toys around the holiday season or volunteering regularly at the local shelter. Whatever the tradition, with any tradition, it is important to the person that is leading the tradition to explain the tradition. It's important to understand, if you are performing the tradition, why do we do it? Why do we do what we do? And this has been missed in so many of our churches. We have traditions in the church, but many of us don't know what they mean or how they even came into existence. But it is important for me as the pastor to explain, and important to you to understand why we do what we do. Because there is a benefit that can be gained in a good tradition. There is a benefit that can be gained in a tradition presented to us from God. But some traditions have been started that are not rooted in the Bible, or maybe it is a church tradition based on a misinterpretation of the Bible, or maybe it is a tradition that was designed to be temporary, but somehow the tradition became permanent. Like our wearing masks in the church facility and limiting personal contact, that will be a temporary and not permanent tradition. But anyway, some of these church traditions have blocked badly needed change that allow us to serve the present age. But there are those traditions, especially and particularly those traditions that God has mandated. When that tradition is undertaken, when that tradition edifies and promotes and protects the people of God, that tradition will never lose its meaning, and we can use that tradition to allow us to learn and to grow, and we can use that tradition to allow us to level up, to take us from one level to the next level. We can allow that tradition to show the world that over time we have learned much and we can now teach much. We can leave that particular tradition having increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and men. That brings us to Luke chapter 2 here this morning. God, through the law of Moses, had established a tradition around observing the Passover, and this tradition led to Jesus and his family coming from Nazareth to Jerusalem. We're talking this morning about the benefit of tradition. In this tradition, Jewish men were required to attend the religious celebrations surrounding the feast of the Passover in Jerusalem, and oftentimes their wives and their children accompanied them. Families and communities would often travel in groups for safety reasons and convenience. It was not uncommon for groups of hundreds of people to walk and ride donkeys together, going from their towns to Jerusalem. Joseph and Mary and their family lived in Nazareth, which was in northern Israel. And Jerusalem was in southern Israel and was just over 64 miles south of Nazareth. And so Joseph and Mary and the whole group of folks, they came and they stayed in Jerusalem through the tradition called the Feast of the Passover. And while leaving Jerusalem, the boy Jesus, who was 12 years old at the time, became separated from Joseph and Mary. And Joseph and Mary and the group they had traveled with, they all left Jerusalem to head back home to Nazareth, and they inadvertently left Jesus behind. We don't know how long exactly it took to discover that Jesus was missing. We don't know why it took them so long to discover that Jesus was missing, but they discovered that Jesus was missing. And the day that Joseph and Mary left Jerusalem, what likely happened was that they thought that Jesus was with other relatives or other people from Nazareth who had also attended the Feast of the Passover there in Jerusalem. But regardless, the boy Jesus was not with them, and so the group turned around to find Jesus, and they went back to Jerusalem. And upon returning to Jerusalem and searching the city, Joseph and Mary eventually found Jesus at the temple. The Bible says in verse 46 that he was listening to the teachers and amazing those around him with his understanding. Jesus was not out playing in the street. Jesus was not looking at items in the market. Jesus was not seeing the sights in Jerusalem. Rather, Jesus had taken this tradition of the Passover, the Feast of the Passover, and turned it into a means to grow. He went to his heavenly Father's house, the temple. The Bible says in verse 46 that Joseph and Mary found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. Jesus took this tradition of the Passover and turned it into a means to grow. He used it as an opportunity to learn. He used it as an opportunity to meet with those who had been entrusted with the Word of God and to reason with them. Rather than be found playing with other kids in the street, Joseph and Mary found Jesus in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. We're talking this morning about the benefit of tradition. And so as I move to my conclusion, the benefit of tradition to mankind is the opportunity for growth and to demonstrate growth. The Bible says in verse 52 that as Jesus grew, he continued to develop mentally. That's the wisdom there. Physically, that's the statue that you see there. Spiritually, that's the favor of God that you see there. And socially, that is the favor with men that you see there in verse 52. And really, we as followers of Jesus, we should also grow in these areas. Grow in wisdom, mental growth, taking care of the mind. Growing in stature, physical growth, taking care of the body. Favor with God, spiritual growth, taking care of our relationship with God, and favor with men, that social growth, taking care of our relationship with our brothers and sisters, with mankind. But this did not just happen in Jesus on its own. It was a process. And we see that Jesus used the tradition of visiting the Temple of Jerusalem each year to grow. The benefit of tradition to mankind is the opportunity to grow and to demonstrate growth. And so it's just as we leave this call this morning, let us use our traditions to help us to grow. Let us use our traditions to measure our growth. Not just go through the motions of tradition, but use the tradition to allow growth. Use the tradition to demonstrate growth. Use the tradition to help others to grow. We have a tradition of going to church. Use that tradition of going to church to allow you to grow. Use that tradition to help others to grow. You have a tradition of celebrating Christmas and the New Year. Use that tradition of being with family and friends to allow you to grow. Use that tradition to help others to grow. Because Jesus took a tradition of going to Jerusalem each year and used it to grow. He used it to develop wisdom, stature, favor with God, and favor with men. We all have traditions. I have traditions, you have traditions, but whatever the tradition is, don't just go through the motions. Learn why you do what you do. And if it's a bad tradition, look to God to help you cut that tradition loose. But if it is indeed a God-mandated tradition, if it is a good tradition, let those traditions allow you to grow. Use that tradition to help others to grow. Grow in wisdom, grow in stature, grow in favor with God, and grow in favor with men. Jesus did just that, and we should follow that example. And God bless the teaching and preaching of his word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you, O Heavenly Father, for showing us in your word, Lord, that at the age of 12 years old, Jesus showed what the benefit of tradition can be and how we can benefit from tradition. Not allowing opportunities to pass us by through tradition, but to allow those traditions, Lord God, to help us to grow. As Jesus said, he must be about his Father's business, Lord. And we must be about your business, Lord God, as children of you. So help us, Lord God, in the traditions that have been set before us, Lord God, to learn about them. And help us, Lord God, to learn from them. And if it be your will, to teach others, Lord God. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, God, that we can have the growth, Lord God, that comes from tradition. That it might, Lord God, help us to grow in wisdom and in stature and in favor with you and in favor with all mankind. God, we thank you for your word and for the power of your word. We thank you for just bringing us to this point in time. And being there to lead us on. It's in Jesus' name that we pray, Lord God. Amen.